Asia. Civil War in Myanmar. On the road to Mandalay. The ruling military junta is increasingly on the back foot.
It has been many decades since war came to Mandalay, the last seat of Burmese kings. But on September 3rd, a 107mm rocket cracked the pre-dawn calm, striking a residential area west of the old royal palace. A local group fighting Myanmar's military junta claimed the attack. Its target was inside the vast palace grounds, now a military base, and home to the junta's central region command. It was the third rocket attack in Mandalay this year. For now, such attacks are still unusual. But recent advances by two armed groups have nearly brought the war against the military junta to the country's second city. The two groups, part of a coalition known collectively as the Brotherhood Alliance, have benefited from shadowy relationships with China. It is likely that the rocket which hit Mandalay this week was Chinese-designed. Their shocking victories are an illustration of how China has become the most important outside power in Myanmar since the armed forces seized power in February 2021. But the Brotherhood's progress has taken on a momentum of its own, and now even China is struggling to rein it in. The Brotherhood groups are distinct from the National Unity Government, NUG, formed by ousted lawmakers after the military coup in 2021. The NUG and its closest allies along the border with Thailand mostly look to the West for support, but have received little and have struggled to make progress. By contrast, the Brotherhood is made up of three groups, all of which get support from China. Two are active in the hills and mountains of Shan State between the Chinese border and Mandalay. The oldest and strongest of the three, the Myanmar National Democratic Alliance Army, MNDAA, broke away from the once formidable Burmese Communist Party in 1989. It draws support mostly from the Kokang ethnic group, who live along the border with China, speak Mandarin, and identify as Han Chinese. For 20 years, under a ceasefire with the junta which then ruled Myanmar, the MNDAA grew rich and powerful. It taxed trade between Myanmar and China and ran casinos catering to Chinese visitors to Lao Kin, the capital of Kokang. Any opposition was met with violence, including public executions. But brief wars in 2009 and 2015 with the Tamado, as the junta's armed forces are known, forced it to flee into nearby hills. In its place, the Tamado installed a militia led by a rival Kokang group to govern the area. In recent years, this proxy militia has turned to online scams as a source of revenue. Scam centres in Lao Kin target victims in mainland China and lure Chinese citizens to work in the centres. Outrage at mounting losses from scams and the treatment of Chinese citizens forced to work against their will pushed the Chinese government to act last year. In October 2023, with the tacit consent of China's government, analysts say, the MNDAA launched an offensive against the junta's forces along the border with China. It routed the Tamado, encircling its forces in Lao Kin. In January, Chinese diplomats brokered a truce, under which the junta agreed to withdraw from the city. The junta also allowed the Chinese authorities to arrest the militia's leaders and extradite them to China to be prosecuted. The second of the Brotherhood groups, the Ta'ang National Liberation Army, TNLA, played a supporting role in the initial offensive last year. Now it is poised to play the lead role in the assault on Mandalay. Among the various ethno-national armed groups that patrol Myanmar's hilly peripheries, the TNLA is unusual for its hardline anti-drug stance. It has also banned mining in areas that it controls, citing environmental costs. This has made it popular among ordinary Ta'ang. But its approach to governance, like that of the MNDAA, is authoritarian. The United Nations has criticized forced recruitment of young people in the areas that it controls. And it has come into conflict with other ethnic armed groups, who bristle at how it treats their people in villages that it has conquered, including its practice of taxing non-Ta'ang businesses. Both groups were among the Tamado's fiercest enemies prior to the coup. In 2019, they launched a daring rocket attack on the west point of Myanmar, the garrison town of Pien U Luin, where the military's service academies are based. But after the coup, both observed an informal truce with the junta, even as other ethnic armed groups joined the nationwide resistance against it. This allowed them to expand the areas under their control. The two groups also sought to build up units of ethnic Bamar who had fled central Myanmar, and Mandalay in particular, after the coup. Between 60% and 70% of Myanmar's population is Bamar. After the military began to shoot protesters, however, the Bamar were forced to seek the tutelage of ethnic minority armed groups. The TNLA's support for the Mandalay People's Defence Force, PDF, which is mostly Bamar, has turned its members into disciplined insurgents. On June 25th, the MNDAA, the TNLA, and the Mandalay PDF renewed their offensives against the junta. On August 3rd, the MNDAA conquered Lashio, a city of 200,000 people and home to the Tamado's Northeastern Region Command. Lashio is a hub of Shan State, in the northeast, where various ethnic groups from across the Shan Hills come to do business. No city of its size and importance had fallen to an ethnic armed group before in Myanmar's history. This victory led many to think for the first time that the Tamado might begin to crumble. At the same time, the TNLA kept its eye on the road to Mandalay. It has now reached Bant Buay, not far from Pien U Luin, where 5 years ago it could only stage one-off rocket attacks. It also sent the Mandalay PDF and other Bamar cells through the hills that it controls to infiltrate townships north of Mandalay. One of these groups probably launched the rocket attack that struck the city on September 3rd. The Brotherhood's intentions with regard to Mandalay are unclear. Both the MNDAA and the TNLA were long thought to be interested only in controlling their home areas in Shan State. Neither seemed to want to overthrow the junta. Some argue that their drive towards Mandalay demonstrates that the Brotherhood is aligning itself more closely with the revolution. But it is more likely that both groups fear that the potential collapse of the junta would lead to a free-for-all. They will want to be the strongest forces should that happen, so are seizing the advantage now. If the TNLA does decide to move on Mandalay, the road runs through Pien U Luin. Fears of an impending assault on the city run high. In August, convoys of vehicles could be seen snaking down the escarpment from the hill station into the city. But the group might face stiff resistance there. Its capture would be fraught with symbolism for the Tamado's leaders, many of whom have homes in the former colonial resort. Instead, exhausted after the past year of battle, the TNLA may choose to first pause and regroup. It may also push the Mandalay PDF to stage ever more daring rocket attacks in the city. What is clear is that, having used these groups to teach the junta a lesson about the scam centres, China is now struggling to contain the forces that it has unleashed. While it is dissatisfied with the junta, it does not want a vacuum to emerge which democratic forces might fill. A recent bid to convene the Brotherhood Alliance and the junta for fresh ceasefire talks in Yunnan came to naught. The Chinese government has also experimented with shutting off the supply of electricity to Lokin and closing border gates which provide customs revenues to little effect. Indeed, taking things up a notch, China's People's Liberation Army staged 3 days of live fire exercises along the border last month. A leaked message to the TNLA from a Chinese intermediary pointed to the exercises and demanded that the group halt its offensive and return to talks. But as Brotherhood groups capture more areas and junta defeats multiply, the armed groups have fewer incentives to heed their former patrons. China's weakened grip on Myanmar's most powerful armed groups and the Brotherhood's rapid advance might present an opening for Western countries to play a bigger role in Myanmar. As the Brotherhood has moved outside its home areas, it has entered into discussions with the democratic forces to help legitimize its rule over diverse ethnic groups, with whom it has little experience. Many in these new territories regard the Chinese-speaking MNDAA and ethno-nationalist TNLA as outsiders, while the pluralist NUG is more representative. Mandalay, a multi-ethnic city of 1.5 million, would present particular challenges for the Brotherhood to administer. But Western governments have been reluctant to provide humanitarian assistance directly to the NUG, fearing that it falls foul of international norms which insist that such aid not be politicised. As a result, it lacks the resources to administer liberated areas, many of which are still reeling from recent battles. If Western governments were to put aside these qualms, the NUG would have more to bring to the table in talks with the Brotherhood over the future of these areas. That would be a good development for residents. The NUG would govern more responsibly than the Brotherhood. It would also help to shift the balance of power in Myanmar from China to the West.